Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Prayer Principles. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Would you turn with me this morning, please, to the book of James? James chapter 5 and verse 13. 5:13. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So if you're going through trials and tests, what do you do? Pray. Let him pray. And he talked about the prayer of faith, raising up the sick. Verse 16, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray. In that latter part of the 16th verse, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Does effective prayer change things in the earth? We see Elijah. The Bible said he was a man like us, feelings and temptations and all just like us, but he prayed earnestly and it changed the cycles of the atmosphere. And he prayed again and it changed again. The Bible said in the Amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So we believe in the effectiveness of proper prayer. And we've been talking about that for some weeks. Now, we talked about what prayer is. We said prayer is communion with God. Communion, not just talking to God, but communion, fellowship with God. How many understand in prayer there ought to be a lot of listening? You're talking to somebody who knows everything about everything, who has all the answers. You shouldn't do all the talking. Right? We should do a lot of listening. Now, prayer is communion with God. And we talked about how we pray, and we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we talked about how you don't pray. You don't pray vain repetitions. And we went through a number of things that way. But we've been studying for the past several weeks on the life of Jesus, his prayer life, believing that he is the most excellent example of a prayer ever. And so we've seen that he's taught us how to pray. Number one, he taught us to pray in love. And if we've got any problems, to forgive folk and get it straightened out before you pray. And Bible said, you know, if you don't forgive others, the Father won't forgive you. And does that affect your prayer life?
Yes,
hugely. He taught us to pray in faith also. He taught us that we must ask. And then we also talked about that there are times that you are to pray, and there are other times that you are to say, decreeing things, exercising your authority. And then also, in addition to that, we talked about the persistent prayer, that there are times when you got to stay with it. And then we talked about why pray at all. And then last week, I believe it was, we talked about the prayer of submission. Today, I'd like for you to turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, and let's continue seeing how Jesus prayed and how he taught us to pray. Mark chapter 9. In the 9th chapter, you see the situation where the man brought his son who had seizures to get Jesus to help him. And Jesus in the beginning wasn't there. So he brought him to Jesus' disciples. And they tried to get the boy delivered and were unsuccessful. Now, to understand this more fully, you'd have to back up and realize that they had been given authority by Jesus himself. He sent them out. He said, I give you authority and power over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. Didn't he tell them that? And they had been doing that. They had been getting marvelous results. The disciples I'm talking about now. He sent them out. And they came back rejoicing, don't you remember? And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. People had been getting delivered. But now here, this man brings his son to Jesus, and he wasn't there in the beginning. And so the disciples tried to minister, didn't get delivered. So Jesus comes down off the mount. And you remember that the man came and said, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he rebuked the spirit that was oppressing that boy, and he was delivered and he was healed. Remember that? But now you got to remember, this is after the disciples failed to get the boy set free. How many understand that just because ministers fail or Christians fail doesn't mean there's no deliverance? See, this is where people really mess up. This is how doctrines get started. Maybe well-known, well-respected preachers, highly thought of Christians that people think are very spiritual, they pray for somebody and they don't get healed, or they try to stand and believe for somebody and they don't get delivered, and they say, well, it just must not have been God's will. These men were handpicked by Jesus, right? They were authorized by Jesus. They were appointed and anointed and sent by Jesus, and they didn't get the boy set free. Did that mean it wasn't God's will for the boy to be free? No. Because as soon as Jesus came, he ministered to him, and the boy was set free. Somebody failing to get healed doesn't prove that that's God's will. Right? When people minister to somebody and they didn't get results, that doesn't mean that there's no healing. That doesn't mean that there's no deliverance. It means somebody failed to receive. And let's don't blame our failure to receive on God's will.
Amen.
Right? So, picking up at that point, after this, the boy has been set free. In verse 28, Mark 9, 28, are you there? Mark 9, 28. Let me pray over you a little bit further before we read this. Father, let your word come strong into the hearts of your people today. Grant us all eyes to see and ears to hear. Let there come revelation and truth, freedom. And we purpose not to be hearers only, but doers in Jesus' name. Amen. Say it at least one time, I'm a doer of the word of God. Verse 28. This is right after the boy has been set free. The Bible said, when he was coming to his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why? Well, hold your place right there and turn back real quickly to Matthew 17, because it's the same account, same story, I should say, in Matthew. But he says some things that Mark didn't say. We want to put them together. Matthew, hold your place in Mark, please, but go to Matthew 17. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 18, Matthew 17, 18. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? In other words, why did you get him set free? And we went through all the motions, and nothing happened. And Jesus said to them, here's the answer right here, verse 20. He said to them what? Because of your unbelief. Now that's the answer, right? That's it. Because of your unbelief. That's why they failed to get the boy set free. How many believe that's the reason for failures today? I mean, so many things that didn't happen, that could have happened, that should have happened, it comes back to this, because of unbelief. Is there any cure for unbelief?
Yes, sir.
What is it? How does faith come?
Amen.
Comes by hearing. Can you hear too much good word?
No.
Now, can you have too much faith?
No.
Thank God for the word that pushes out unbelief. He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it don't take too much. You shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it'll remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The King James has that. I know some modern translations don't include that. Sometimes the devil try to tell people, well, that's your problem. You don't have enough faith. You need to ask him, how much does it take? Real faith of God is potent stuff.
Yes, it is.
I'm talking about a little bit goes a long way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if you listen to the enemy, he tried to tell you every day, oh, you don't have enough. You don't have enough. And you can read and pray and go to church and feed on the word. Do I have enough now? No, not yet. You got enough? Weeks can pass. You might, do I have enough yet? No, you don't have enough. Years can pass. Do I have enough? No. This is a big part of it. The word's got to be mixed with faith for there to be a release of power. But then also, your faith must be acted upon. You don't have to know all the Bible. You don't have to feel like you got more faith than anybody around. Just act on a little bit of faith, and you'll see amazing results. He said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'd speak to that mountain, and it'd be removed. How many believe that's he meant what he said and said what he meant? Powerful. We'll go back to Mark 9 now. Now, just in answering the question, they said, why couldn't we get this boy delivered? What's the answer? What? Because of your unbelief. That's the answer to the question. Now, let's keep reading here, though, in Mark 9. Verse 28, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want to talk to you today about prayer and fasting. Is everybody excited? If it's in the Bible, it's got to be good. Right? The Lord didn't give us any unnecessary, superfluous stuff. For one thing, like I mentioned to you, some modern translations don't include that, 21st verse in Matthew 17. Some modern translations don't include the word and fasting in this verse in Mark 9.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Prayer Principles, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.